I'll ask you to follow along silently with me as we begin here in the 20th verse of Exodus 35. God has just given Moses, and Moses has given it in turn to the people, the instructions for bringing offerings to provide for the tabernacle. Verse 20 reads, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold. And every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. And every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and red skins of rams and badger skins brought them. Everyone that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering. And every man with whom was found shittim wood for any work of the service brought it. And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple and of scarlet and of fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. And the rulers brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate and spice and oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses." I'm going to leave off reading there. And it is not my intent this morning, in case someone would throw up their guard, to preach a sermon on giving. I'm sure that's needed in every Baptist church I go into. I know this is a giving church. This is a giving pastor. And that's not my intent. I'm sure you heard the story about the preacher. He was preaching along and he said, folks, he said, "We need to let the church walk. We need to get up and do something. Let the church walk." And the old deacon said, "Amen, let it walk." And he preached a little more. He said, "Well, we also need to let it run. We don't just need to walk. We need to let the church run." "Amen, preacher, let it run." Finally, he got it airborne. He said, "We need to let the church fly. That's what we need to do." And the old brother said, "Amen, preacher, let it fly." And the pastor stopped and looked at him and said, "But brother, it's going to take money to let it fly." He said, "Let it walk, pastor, let it walk." Well, unfortunately, that's how some people look at this thing of giving. But I want to talk to you using this offering this morning. And I want to use it in a way that I've never used it. I want us to see it as a picture of Christ giving himself. You know this, that the Bible is a Christ-centered book. And everything in the Old Testament and everything in the New Testament is said and revealed to point us to the Lord Jesus. Jesus, you remember, even said, "Moses wrote of me." And on the Emmaus Road following his resurrection, he opened unto them the Scriptures, beginning with Moses and walking right on through the prophets, preaching Jesus, preaching Jesus to his followers. Well, I've used all the different offerings through the years to point to Christ. You remember in Leviticus chapters 1 through 6, we're introduced to the sin offering. We're introduced to the trespass offering. We're introduced as well to the peace offering, the meal offering, the burnt offering. All of these offerings point us to Christ, the supreme offering, the chief offering. But this morning, I want to use the tabernacle offering as a type of the offering of Christ. Now, I don't like to fly. I'm not afraid to fly. I'd rather have my vehicle, have what I need in my vehicle. But I have thought about it. One of the reasons I don't like to fly, I think this is my conclusion, is I can't see where I'm going. I like to see down the road in front of me. And I think as well that may be why I haven't enjoyed some sermons. I couldn't see where we were going. So what I'm going to do is at least give you my flight pattern, and I don't know how far we'll get into it, but I want us to look at this offering as a type of Christ's offering from these five areas. First of all, I want us to look at it as a decreed offering. This wasn't Moses' idea. This was God's idea. And Christ's offering on the cross was a decreed offering. And then I want us to look at this tabernacle offering as a described offering. Before it was ever given, God discussed it and described it to the people. Before Christ ever died on the cross, it had been predicted and prophesied previously. Then I want us to look at this offering briefly as a devoted offering. It wasn't haphazard. Nobody was complaining. Nobody was upset. They were willingly giving. Jesus did not die on the cross with a clenched fist, but He died willingly. His offering was a willing offering. Fourthly, I want to underline that it was a distinguished offering. This offering was so precious and so big that they finally had to tell the people, you're going to have to stop giving. You've given too much. I'll never get to preach this morning, but I want to tell you what Jesus did on the cross was not a little offering. He gave more than could ever be given. More than enough for our justification and all the other blessings. And then this tabernacle offering was a durable offering. That is, it lived on. The tabernacle existed in the wilderness and in Israel's history until the temple was built. And what Christ did on the cross was not a temporary event. But it's forever. Forever. We're redeemed. Forever. And enjoy the privileges of this eternal offering. Now, I've given you my flight pattern. Let's move in that direction for a few minutes. I want to begin by pointing out in verse number 4 that the Lord commanded this offering. Now, I will admit, though I'm not preaching on giving, God has challenged me about some things and dealt with me about some things in these verses about giving. One here, it wasn't just a I wonder what I ought to give type thing. It was the Lord said, here's what I want you to give. A word of commandment from the Lord. Verse 4, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, and whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass, and so on. First of all, we see that this offering was decreed in that it was a plan in God's mind. Moses didn't say, well, I wonder how we could generate some revenue. We got to come up with more cash flow. If we expect to have what we're supposed to have out here in the wilderness. We're going to have to do something. We're going to have to generate some revenue. No. God said, Moses, here's what I want you to do. And he commanded. He said, take and bring. Before the need had really come to a head or come to fruition, the plan was already in God's mind. Isn't that true of Christ's offering? Before you and I ever realized we had a need of salvation, God had already planned it all out and had ordained and decreed that the Lord Jesus come and die for our sins according to the Scriptures. The song is true. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. But the Bible even takes it further than that, doesn't it? Before the world began, we were on his mind. How precious. How wonderful. Notice secondly, this decreed offering not only points us to Christ's offering on the cross, because there was a plan in God's mind. He said, I want you to take this offering. Take ye from among you. But it was decreed in that the procedure of the offering was in God's mind. He not only wanted them to take an offering, here's how he wanted them to do it. Verse 5 says, let him bring it. He said, I want you to take an offering, that's God's plan, and I want you to bring it. That's the procedure that they were to follow. Of course, similarly, when Christ died on the cross, not only was his death planned, but his death on the cross was the procedure that God had ordered. He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And so this tabernacle offering points us to Christ's offering on the cross. Not an accident, not some haphazard thing, but a decreed offering. God sent his son to die for our sins. How wonderful that truth is. But hold it, beginning in verse 5 and going through verse 19, and I'll not deal with all of these verses in detail, but here we have this offering as a described offering. The Lord told them what was needed. Now, I'm an evangelist, and I don't pastor, and I don't believe God cut me out to be a pastor. I'll leave all of that with him. I'm not voting on it. I'm just trying to be obedient. But at any rate, I'm with so many pastors. I hear all these stories about missionaries sending letters, and I get some of them. And some of them don't just say, pray about our needs. But they list the needs. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And in years gone by, that sort of bothered me. I've thought, man, how imposing could somebody be not to just tell folks we have a need, but describe it. But the Lord's rebuked me a little here because he described what was needed before they ever brought the offerings. The Lord described it, item by item. In fact, let's just look at some of the description. Verse 5, the last three words, gold and silver and brass. Verse 6, and blue and purple and scarlet. Look down at verse number 11. He said, here's why I want you to bring all these materials. The tabernacle, his tent, his covering, his taches, his boards, his bars, his pillars, his sockets. He said, all of this is going to be built with these materials. And so it was a described offering. First of all, he described what was to be brought, the materials. Then he described why it was to be brought. He discussed the construction, every facet of it, from the curtains to the furniture, every detail. God had specified, I need you to bring something for this. Right. I can't help but think about Christ's offering from this vantage point. The Lord Jesus' offering was a described offering. You know, one of the blessings about the Old Testament is the Old Testament gives us a picture of what is going to happen before it happens. To me, it's God's weather, His evening weather report. He tells us, of course I know sometimes the weather report doesn't turn out like we're told, but God tells us in the Old Testament how it's going to happen. And in the New Testament, we get up the next morning and it happened just like God predicted. And I thought of two or three passages. I'm going to limit my thoughts to two. First of all, the what was to be offered. What was to be offered? Well, He gave them a description. What did the Old Testament describe that would be offered on the cross? Christ's body. Christ's body was to be offered on the cross as an offering for sin. And throughout Psalm 22, we have a description of Christ, a prophecy or a prophesied description of Christ hanging on the cross in His body. He talks about His joints. He talks about the enemies around Him like wild, ravaging animals. And then we have that great word from the cross. Psalm 22:1 reads, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? There we have somewhat of a picture of the what is going to be given in the offering. Christ's body. And then in Isaiah 53, we have the why it will be offered. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes you're healed. I say the Lord Jesus' offering is symbolized somewhat in this tabernacle offering, because it was a decreed offering and it was a described offering. I know that God has to open up people's eyes, but I wonder sometimes what the Jewish people think when they read Psalm 22 or Isaiah 53, if they ever get to those portions. Old Testament texts that describe the what and the why of Christ's death. Let me just pause and say, He was wounded for my transgressions. I thank Him that Jesus died for me, for my sins. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Then I must get to the heart of this issue. The real issue in this offering is not just what they brought and why they were to bring it. That was involved. But God was looking at the motive of their hearts. And He's looking at our motive when we give. You know, it's religious wickedness to put in a certain bill in the offering plate, and as it goes by, you say, well, I hope so-and-so saw that. Boy, isn't that a wasted $20 bill? The wrong motive, the wrong attitude. But these people gave and gave, and their attitude was so pure. I want to mention two things about their offering as a devoted offering, pointing to Christ's offering as a devoted offering to the Father. First of all, beginning in verse 20, we realize that this offering was one of comprehensiveness. Everybody didn't bring the same thing. By the way, we have streamlined Christianity in our day and reduced ourselves to puppets trying to be like somebody else. God wants you to be you. He wants me to be me. In fact, I tell the young preachers this, at Fruitland, one of the greatest days of my life when I was willing to be me. This is simplistic, but my thought was, if I'm not willing to be me, there's never going to be a me. Why do I want to be like somebody else? Why don't I just follow Jesus the way He wants me to follow Him? Oh, there's liberty in that. There's freedom in that. But everybody brought something different. Isn't that interesting? Verse 21 says, they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle. Now, notice, first of all, it was so comprehensive. They not only brought all these gifts, but everybody came. We're told in verse 21, everyone whose heart, verse 22 says, both men and women. And verse number 23 says, every man. Verse 24 says, everyone and every man. Verse 25 says, all the women. Verse 26 again, all the women. And then in verse 29, every man and woman. You see, everyone was involved in this offering. It was comprehensive. Not only what was brought, but who brought it. We read these verses a moment ago, but look at verses 27 and 28. Not only did the common people, men and women, bring offerings, but verse 27 says, and the rulers brought onyx stones and stones to be set. Well, you know, some of the people couldn't bring onyx stones, but the rulers could, and they did. For the ephod and for the breastplate and spice and oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense. It was a comprehensive offering. It was associated with all people. Watch out now. When the Lord Jesus was offered up on Calvary's cross, He bore all of our sins in His own body on the tree. Red and yellow, black and white, they're precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. And in His death on the cross, He gave Himself comprehensively. All that was needed was offered. All that was necessary was given on the cross. Let me mention furthermore, this devoted offering was not only one of comprehensiveness, but it was one of willingness. You've already seen that in some of these verses, but let's look at it again briefly. Back in verse 5, He said, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it. And then down in verse 21, we read it earlier, everyone whom His Spirit made willing. Look at verse 22. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted. Again in verse 29, they brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing. And I'm not going to read those other phrases that emphasize God initiated this willingness. God brought about this. He stirred their hearts, we're told. Each one's hearts stirred them up. God aroused them. God moved them. Interesting. God is not out to take advantage of you and me. He just moves on us to give in a fashion that would bring glory back to Him. That's all that's happening here. He's arousing and moving and stirring the people, making them willing that it all may redound to His glory. I don't know how correct this is, but I had a young man say to me in the last few years, he said, Tom, I believe God has called me to preach, but he said, I don't want to preach. And he said, I don't think I'm going to preach. He said, do you think God will judge me or God will kill me because of it? Or do you think He's going to make me preach? I said, brother, I can't tell you what God's going to do. And no doubt you will at one point somewhere, somehow, wish you had done what God wanted you to do. But why would God make you when you're so stubborn? I said, you think God is locked up to you? Why, he'll go down the road and get somebody else who's willing. He'll use somebody who's available. Somebody who wants to do his will. He stirred their hearts to be willing. To be willing. Well, need I say any more about this? The Lord Jesus' offering on the cross was a willing offering. You know what I love about Christ's death? Is the devil and all the people who were used of the devil thought, we've got him now. We finally got him. Right where we want him, we've got him. But they didn't have him. He had them. God was using them to bring about his crucifixion. Oh, you're not going to get God. You're going to catch God off guard. Oh, if he wants to, he'll use an old wicked Pharaoh. I confess to you, his ways are far beyond my ways and above my ways. But the Lord Jesus did not go to Calvary. And please don't misunderstand me. I've got enough folks in that line without any of you dear ones getting in it. But I sung all my life, they searched through heaven to find a Savior. But I don't believe Jesus was hiding up there in heaven anywhere. Do you? I don't believe they were searching for him saying, Jesus, come out now. No. He was in perfect agreement with the Father's will. He said, I and my Father are one. And he humbled himself willingly and became obedient willingly unto death, yea, the death of the cross. He was willing. He died for you because he wanted to die for you. He died for me because he wanted to die for me. He said, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down of myself. Willingly. Yieldedly. Submissively. The Lord Jesus died giving himself an offering for sin. I'm enjoying this too much. Oh, brother. The offering in the tabernacle points to Christ because it was a decreed offering. Because it was a described offering ahead of time. Because it was a devoted offering, all pointing us to Jesus. Let me say fourthly, it was a distinguished offering. There never had been and never has been another offering like the offering. The men came to Moses and they said, the people have given too much. You're going to have to do something. And Moses said, all right, tell them to quit giving. Now that seems to me so unorthodox. I don't even know how to deal with it. You know what we would have done, don't you? If people just kept giving, number one, we're not going to have that problem. It's like I was preaching the other day on Sunday morning. I said to them, how many of you work second shift? Nobody raised their hand. I said, great. Well, all of you will be back tonight. Then I stopped and I said, yeah, right. All right. It's a Baptist church. And I don't think we're going to have this problem in a Baptist church where we give too much and we get worried about there's too much coming in. And if we did, we'd come up with some new project to funnel the added funds into it. But Moses had to get them to stop. Quit giving. You're giving too much. Brother, that is some more offering. It was distinguished. The response of the people was so willing. And then the restraint of the people was so unusual. But does that not point us to what happened at the cross? The Lord Jesus offering on the cross was more than enough for our justification, more than enough for our sanctification, more than enough for our glorification, more than enough to give us victory on our way to heaven, more than enough for us to walk in the power of the Spirit. I tell you, there's so much about His person, so much about His life and His death and His burial and His resurrection. We'll never be able to calculate everything He did. More than sufficient. I'm glad I can preach a gospel that is so powerful. It's more than enough. Somebody said, you don't know my brother. No, but you didn't know mine. But somehow in God's mercy and grace and power, He won my brother's heart. I thought it might have been something I'd preached or maybe mom and daddy's prayers. And so I asked him, I said, Jeff, when was it the Lord really dealt with you? He was caught up in the dope traffic in our area, and drinking heavily every day. And we were just so disturbed. We wondered, I did, but wondered if anything would ever turn around. We tried to get him out of jail, you know. 2 days later, you see his truck on the side of the road and you wonder, well, is he dead or alive? But he said to me, Tom, I'll tell you when the Lord really dealt with me. He said it was July the 4th weekend and we were determined we were going to party. But he said, you know, we'd had a baby by that time and we couldn't get a babysitter. So he said, I decided, let's just take her to the party. So he said, we got her to sleep and laid her down over to the side and we having a big time drinking and doping, dancing. And he said, after a little while, somebody came to me and said, Jeff, your baby's crying. And he said, Lord, I'd forgot about my baby. He said, I went through the smoke, got over there where my baby was and she was crying. And he said, when I reached down to get that baby, he said, God, smote my heart. And he said, I went to crying. And it's as though the Lord said to him, it's not enough for you to live like this. Now you're going to raise your babies in the middle of it. Somebody went and got his wife and said, we think Jeff's sick. He's over there holding the baby crying. And she came to him and said, what's wrong? I say, you're sick. He looked at her and said, I am. I'm sick of the way we're living. I want to tell you, God's able to go out yonder on the floor, on the dance floor, and pull on their heart. He's able to go through the smoke and through the smell of beer and liquor. I wish they'd come too. I wish they'd be here on Sunday morning too. I want to tell you, the Lord's able to go out yonder and deal with them. He's more than adequate, more than able. Able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we may ask or think. According to that power which worketh in us. Mama, don't give up now. God may be getting ready to do something. Daddy, don't throw up your hands now. Papa, Mama, don't give up now. God is able. Through the offering of Christ, there's more than adequacy. Before we go, let me mention fifthly, the tabernacle offering was a durable offering. It lived on. It was adequate for the present in the wilderness where they were. The tabernacle was a place of worship there. But in the future, when they got into the Canaan land, it would work there too. And they set it up in Shiloh. And later on, another generation would pick up the tabernacle and use it until the temple was built. That offering they brought was a durable offering. It lived on. And what Jesus did on the cross was a durable offering. It lives on here this morning. The gospel is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. It's a durable offering, this offering of the Lord Jesus. In fact, John got to look a little bit into heaven, you remember? John, what did you see? What did you see? He said, I saw a lamb, as it were, as it had been slain, standing in the midst of the throne. And the living creatures and the redeemed were all saying, "Holy, holy, holy, and worthy art thou, worthy is the Lamb to be praised, to be honored." You see, this thing's going to last forever. Hey, if you're not interested in what Jesus did on the cross, you'll not be interested in going to heaven, because we're going to celebrate it forever up there. What a day that will be. The tabernacle offering. It's a type of Christ's offering on the cross. Recently, I preached from the little offering that the widow woman brought, the mite. And Jesus was sitting nearby watching her put it in the treasury. And there were others who came by, people of great position and wealth. And Jesus commented that this woman's offering is much greater than what they've given, because she's given of her living. They've just sort of given God a tip out of what they're worth. I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus did not give a tip on Calvary's cross. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. The offering of Jesus is more than enough to save you, dear friend, if you're here unsaved today. To bring you back to where you need to be, dear friend, if you've wandered away from Him. Those that you're torn up about and burdened about, Christ's death on the cross, His offering, is still pulling and working and wooing. The blood of Jesus is still powerful to wash away sins. May the Spirit of God apply these thoughts to our hearts and lives. You've been so kind. Would you stand with me, please?